It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/RS10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/RS10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Hello and welcome inside Surprise Stadium in Surprise, Arizona, site of Royal Spring Training 2025, the first episode of Vern's Hot Stove. Live from the Valley of the Sun, this and every Thursday from 6 until 7 o'clock as we get you ready for tomorrow's Cactus League opener between the Royals and Rangers, 205 right here on 96.5 The Fan and, of course, on the Odyssey app. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll have a chance to talk with a lefty that debuted at the age of 22, talking about Chris Bubich. We'll also speak with a righty who is currently 22 and hoping to make his big league debut sooner rather than later. The local product, the Blue Valley product, Ben Kuderna, swings by coming up at 6:40. Plenty to get to, including Michael Garcia learning to deal with tough luck. Lucas Erceg only getting better and better. The self-belief of some of these guys that have heard all of the doubters, whether we're talking about this reliever, that starter, that left fielder, we'll dive into that. The next wave of pitchers, I mentioned Ben Kuderna, we can talk some Chandler Champlain and Noah Cameron, or even some of the veterans that were brought in, like a guy that we had a chance to talk with yesterday in Ross Stripling, accepting that minor league deal with the Royals with an invite to spring training. Can they add a bat on a similar type deal? We'll go over the available bats, guys that could possibly help the 2025 championship season for your Boys in Blue, which starts up in 5 weeks from today. And front and center for each and every moment out here in Arizona, and with the prime seat in the press box at Kauffman Stadium, kind enough to join us out here at Surprise Stadium, it is the beat writer for your Kansas City Royals, Annie Rogers. Annie, year five, I believe, right, on the beat?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
It goes by quick.
It sure does.
And there wasn't much helping it go by quick early on, but here we are coming off a postseason run. The Royals, I think if you're talking about the 2025 team and where the biggest improvement is in the bullpen. I think a case could be made it's a top five unit in the American League. But they lose Brady Singer in 180 innings, a guy that takes the ball every fifth day. Did they do enough to replace him? Do they have enough pitching, in your opinion?
It's a good question. The question that popped up immediately after that trade with the Reds. They had to make it, in my opinion. I really like Jonathan India. I think he's going to do really great things at the top of the lineup. But they dealt from a position of strength, which was their pitching, and they lose 180 innings. So I think it was a no-brainer to bring back Michael Lorenzen. And I think they felt really good about their mix for the fifth starter spot in Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch and Alec Marsh and Kyle Wright. Well, now two of those guys are dealing with more injuries, and Marsh with a right shoulder soreness, and Wright with, you know, he was coming off from a right shoulder surgery, and now he's dealing with a mild hamstring strain. So you just don't know how far back those guys are going to be as they get up in their progression. So I think that's why you saw them bring in Ross Stripling on a minor league deal. But I do think they feel good about kind of where they're at with innings. You've got some veteran guys that will be competing for spots, and then you've got some young guys too that hopefully will make their debuts at some point in 2025. So I don't think you can ever have enough pitching. Mm-hmm. So if they brought in another guy, I wouldn't be surprised at all. But I think the Stripling signing was pretty big for them after the early news in camp.
Yeah, I like it. And as he told us earlier today, you know, the classic pitching numbers might not be impressive, but you dive a little bit deeper, the field-independent pitching and other analytics, savvy move, savvy signing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he said it today, like, he loves the Royals' defense. They're good infield behind him, and he pitches to contact, so you feel like it matches up well. Now it's just a matter of, you know, what does he look like this spring? Can he get built up? And, you know, what does that roster look like come opening day? And will he accept a minor league, you know, mm-hmm. deal going back to AAA if he needs to be a depth option for them? So there's a lot to decide, though, for the Royals. And yeah, you can't ever have enough pitching.
Annie Rogers, MLB.com, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. You've been here since the beginning of spring training, so we've all kind of followed this team through your work at MLB.com, including recently about Daniel Lynch, who just had his first kid, about a month ago?
Yeah.
Is he, would you call him a lock in that bullpen? Because with the addition of an Esteves, Urseg, Harvey, you know, those three you would assume are locks. How many open spots do you see in that bullpen right now?
Honestly, I really see one spot that's open. Wow. You know, you go through it, you've got Esteves, Urseg, and Harvey in the back end. Chris Stratton is back he exercised his player option. I think you put him in the opening day roster. He probably has a short leash after what he showed last year. But he's on the roster. And then you need some lefties. So you need Angel Zerpa, and you need Sam Long, and then you need, you know, almost like a, I don't know, he was early on fireman John Schreiber.
Yeah.
He lost it a little bit later on in the season, but I think they feel really good about him. I think he's in the bullpen. So that's seven guys already. Mm-hmm. You have eight spots if you run with a five-man rotation. So I think there's one spot open, and it depends on how the Royals want to go with it. You know, whether they want a long guy, a guy who doesn't win the rotation spot like Daniel Lynch. I think he could be really good back there. I think he showed a lot and learned a lot in the final month of the season in 2024. Or you could go with, you know, power in Carlos Hernandez or Steven Cruz, or a different look lefty in Evan Sisk. So it kind of just depends on what they want to see in those first couple of series of the season.
And with the setback for Marsh, would you put Daniel Lynch in the catbird seat to grab that one, that final bullpen spot?
It's a really interesting decision. Like, how built up Marsh is at the end of the year, at the end of spring training, might determine a lot of it. Is he a 2-3 inning guy? Can he be the guy in the
right
bullpen? And do they stash Daniel Lynch in AAA to be built up as a starter in case there's an early injury? Or do you put Marsh in AAA, keep him building up until 5 or 6 innings in case there's an early injury? So there's a lot of decisions that have to be made. Kyle Wright is a similar, you know, I envision him in AAA on a rehab assignment now, especially with the hamstring strain. How much do you build him up? Can he go to the bullpen? So there's a lot to decide on that last spot, and there's a lot of factors in, you know, not just performance, but injuries and what you want out of that final spot in the bullpen that they'll have to figure out.
I feel bad, or I feel like I'm being negative when I say this. I promise it's not meant to be negative. I still love the rotation. I really like the defense. I love the team speed. But to me, the bullpen is the only spot where I can definitively say that the team is better today than the one that ended 2024. The offense, I have my questions about. How about you? How confident are you that this is a better offense than the one that just said, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, I need you to do it all?
I think it's better by one person, and it's Jonathan India. You saw all the time last year, Vern, like, that leadoff spot was just barren. Like, there was no production out of it. They mixed and matched. They put different guys up there. They put Freddie Fermin up there for one game.
Forgot
I mean,
about that.
That tells you what they were trying to get. I mean, they just needed anything. And so you put a veteran guy. I mean, he's had 4 years in league. Can you call that veteran?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He was a college guy. Like, he knows what he's doing. He's very professional. He has done it every year of his career. And he knows exactly, like, that is, they have told him, you are our leadoff guy. So he knows exactly what his role is going to be, and that's to get on base in front of Bobby. And I think Bobby has really embraced that. You know, he wants to drive guys in. He wants to get on base and have Vinny and Salvi drive two guys in instead of one. So I do think they're better at the top of the lineup. Are they a deeper lineup? They'll have to prove it, because they didn't add anything else. So you're really relying on internal improvement there. And for that, I can't confidently say, because I haven't seen it yet, that they're better.
Yeah. And two guys in particular in the corner outfield, and Hunter Renfro and MJ Melendez. I know a lot of fans' attention, media's attention is going to be on those two, because they are, in my opinion, the two guys that can take it from a below-average offense to an above-average offense. You recently wrote about MJ Melendez and his swing changes. You can read that now at MLB.com or at Royals.com. What do you make of it? What would you tell Royals fans about how excited to get for MJ's new swing?
I mean, I understand if people are hesitant. He admitted it to me. The very first quote is he's had 3 years in the big leagues, and he is who he has been, who he has been, and he's not happy with it. He had a pretty league average rookie year, and then had some ups and downs his second year, and then last year was pretty much a struggle the entire way. It's hard for a hitter to make adjustments like that. His timing was completely off. You saw a lot of unbalanced swings, and that's what these swing changes are meant to, fix. And so the early returns, like, they're, we'll see. It looks good right now. It looks really different. Videos show that. But until he actually gets in the box in spring training games, and then in the regular season when the lights get a lot brighter, like, we don't know yet. So I think he was more motivated than ever this offseason, because he finally realized, like, I need to change something.
Yeah.
And that was a conversation that he had with Royals hitting coaches and his own hitting coaches at home. How excited can you get? I don't know. Like, I think we should wait for sure. But it is an interesting story, and I think it's something to monitor as we go forward.
Let's see how he handles that first 0-for-15, if he still sticks with it or says, to hell with it.
Yeah,
I'm going back to what I've always done.
It's a big thing. I mean, that's the message this spring, is you have to stay consistent with it. You have to be convicted in it, because you're going to have slumps. Like, if you have a week without a hit, you got to stay with it. You have to trust the work that you've done over the 3.5 months. You can't revert straight back to what you've been doing. So that will be a huge test for him in the early part of the season.
I see it similar to, like, Brady Singer's slider, or not slider, but change up, the four seamer, to where when things would go bad, he'd abandon it. And then up until last year, where, hey man, you better adjust or you're going to find yourself out of Kansas City or maybe out of the big leagues quickly.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you go through struggles, you revert back to what you know. And I completely understand that. Hitting is a really hard thing to do. And when you have all the pressure on you to produce, like, you want to do something that you know works. And it worked for MJ for a little bit in the minor leagues. And it worked for, he had flashes in the big leagues. We all know what he can do, his power. So now it's just about being consistent. And I think the Royals really believe in this guy. And not just because he's a homegrown talent and a huge part of their core. I think there's a lot of people in the organization who believe that he can be what they want him to be.
Right.
And they don't want to give up on him yet. I mean, there's no reason to give up on him yet. So we saw last year when he wasn't playing well, he wasn't playing. So I could see that happening too. They just need to find a replacement, and they didn't this offseason.
Annie Rogers, MLB.com. A few more minutes here on Vern's Hot Stove, live from Surprise, Arizona, on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Well, speaking of MJ, a guy that I think we all kind of penciled in as the opening day left fielder, and now here in spring we're seeing Jonathan India, Michael Massey both moonlighting out there in left. JJ's mentioned Michael Garcia is going to play some center field. Of those three options, do you think they're all realistic? Can anyone thrive defensively in those spots, in your opinion?
Good question. I don't know. I think India's playing left field tomorrow, so we'll see that. And I think, you know, in a couple of days, Massey will be out there, or a couple games. And I don't know what the, you know, what the workload would be like for Michael in center, but I think he can play out there because he's really athletic. I just don't know how that's going to translate to the big Kauffman Stadium mm-hmm. outfield. So that's a really, that'll be a really interesting test. And I think that's more of like, you know, when Kyle Isbell needs a day off of his feet, they can put Michael out there if, you know, open third base for Jonathan India, that sort of thing. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw India and Massey in left field more often, especially depending on how MJ, you know, how the swing changes translate into the regular season. I think they can do it, but I'm not confident in saying that yet because I just haven't seen it. I would probably trust India a little bit more than Massey out there, just because we've, you know, seen Massey's back issues flare up and things like that. Although he said that defense is actually the hardest part with his back. So I like him at second base, and I think India is more of like he can move around a little bit more, but yeah. We'll see. I mean, nobody really knows yet.
Well, the defensive metrics for India at second base are brutal. So Massey at second's your best defensive infield. It's just wild to have a guy learn a new position in the big leagues. Tough to do, but hey, if you want to stay in the big leagues like we were mentioning, you better adjust. Speaking of the big guys that want to get to the big leagues, you're currently working on the top prospects in the Royals organization for MLB.com, the yearly top 30. Anyone that Royals fans should have their ear, eye open for to possibly make an impact on this team down the stretch?
Yeah, well, there's a couple, and the first one that pops into mind is Noah Cameron. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's actually from St. Joseph, Missouri, so kind of a local kid. He was added to the 40-man roster this November to protect him from the Rule 5 draft. That was a no-brainer. The Royals had to do that. They didn't want to lose him. And so now he's, you know, just one call away from the big leagues. I think he'll be in AAA to start the year, be a part of that rotation there. He had a really good year last year, especially in AAA. Got way better even with that next level up. So excited to see what he can do with more of a sample size. But I think it's someone, you know, people should be excited for. He's a big lefty, has a lot of pitches, and knows how to pitch. That's the biggest thing with him, is he's super smart on the mound. So that's exciting to see with a young guy. And so I think he understands kind of what his role is, how to pitch and how to use his stuff. And he'll be up at some point in 2025. I just don't know if it's going to be in the rotation or, you know, out of the bullpen if they need an arm.
Another one of the top pitching prospects in the organization. I mentioned him a moment ago, Ben Kuderna, the local kid from Blue Valley Southwest. He's going to join the show coming up in about a half hour from now. You tweeted out a pretty cool moment that he was able to experience yesterday. Let the fans know.
Yeah, so all of a sudden I walk over to a backfield over there, and there's Ben in his live BP, and Carter Jensen, his fellow 2021 draftee, fellow Kansas City native, went to Park Hill High School. He's catching. And there's Salvador Perez in the box. And look, like live BP, the stakes are low. There's music playing. Like there's you know, pitchers are working on different things. Hitters are getting their timing. But what a cool moment for these two kids who are 21 and 22 years old, facing Salvador Perez, who they watched
right.
in the 2014 and 2015 postseason as 11 and 12-year-olds. And now here they are on the backfields, you know, in big league camp for their hometown team. They both reached AA next year, or this year, the past year, and they'll be back there again this year. You know, it's pretty cool. And also, Salvi said, it makes him feel really old.
So. Yeah, I believe it. And some great quotes in your story on Kuderna, Jensen, and Salvi. You can find that again right now at MLB.com and at Royals.com. And, of course, you follow her on X for all the best Royals coverage. Annie, thank you very much for the time. I'll see you in a few hours in Q's office.
All right. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you very much. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll be back live from Surprise Stadium in a matter of moments with Royals lefty Chris Bubich. That's next. Well, it's time for baseball now. Welcome back. It's Vern's Hot Stove. My name is Josh Vernier. 96.5 The Fan's Royals Insider, broadcasting live from Surprise, Arizona. Game one of the Cactus League comes your way tomorrow afternoon, 2:05, Royals Rangers with Daniel Lynch on the bump. You'll hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan and, of course, on the Odyssey app. Daniel Lynch, of course, one of the prized pitchers selected in that draft class of 2018, and it's my pleasure to welcome on another member of that 2018 class. He's preparing for his seventh full professional season, his sixth in the big leagues. It's my pleasure to welcome back to the show Chris Bubich. Chris, thank you very much for the time tonight. How you feeling, man?
Of course. Yeah, it's always exciting to get a new year going and getting everybody in the same clubhouse, and excited to get games here again soon.
Well, I know you're excited. I know everyone's excited to see you back on the bump, to see you on that first baseline on opening day at Kauffman Stadium. It's been a while after Tommy John surgery in 2023. You come back last season and help push this team into the postseason. I'm wondering, do you believe to be a – are you a better pitcher because of what you went through the past 2 years?
I think so. I think, you know, there's never a good time for an injury, but I think at the time the injury happened, you know, I had some up and downs throughout the early parts of my career. And, you know, I had a good little stretch there, although it was pretty brief at the beginning of 2023. But, you know, having an injury like that takes you out for, you know, a year plus, and it gives you a lot of time to think and reevaluate, you know, my physical side, my mental side, and just kind of where I'm at, you know, on the pitching side. So it gave me a good sense of where I was at. Like I said, I had a lot of time to get my body in better shape and, you know, come back, you know, thankfully as smooth as I did. I didn't have any setbacks throughout the rehab process. But, yeah, I think, you know, going through that really opened my eyes to, you know, what it takes to be a successful pitcher in the big leagues. Obviously, I've been in the starting role, been in a relief role as well. So I think there's aspects of both now that I really enjoy and I can really take, you know, as I continue on into my career.
What'd you enjoy most about coming out of the bullpen?
I'd say probably the adrenaline rush. I think there's nothing quite like, you know, pitching late in the game in a high leverage situation, which I'll be honest, I probably, you know, if we talked at this time last year, I probably wasn't expecting to be in that situation come year's end. But it was a lot of fun to experience those situations, pitching high leverage situations, pitching the playoffs. You know, those are moments I'll never forget. And those are moments, you know, you kind of live for as a competitive athlete, just in general. And I know fans love to see that. And, you know, the coaches were great in supporting me and, you know, giving me all the resources that I needed to, you know, succeed in those high leverage situations. But it was a lot of fun. And I'd say, yeah, just the adrenaline that comes with that, not that you don't as a starter, but, you know, when you're going in there to face the heart of an order, or, you know, trying to shut the door late in the game, or, you know, keep a lead, you know, those are situations you live for.
But you're back now in the mix for a spot in this rotation. I think you have a leg up for a spot in this rotation. What's the team told you as far as an innings limit? How are they going to handle your first full season since 2022?
Yeah, I think we'll kind of face those questions as we come in terms of an inning limit and workload. I know that's, you know, a topic when it comes to guys returning, you know, first full season back off of a significant arm injury. But I think, yeah, right now, build on the starter throughout camp. We'll see where it goes. You know, I'm just excited to pitch healthy and just contribute. And I think, you know, I've said this to other guys, and, you know, just because, you know, camp breaks a certain way, you know, in about a month from now, You look at the way we broke camp last year and the way that the way the team looks, you know, by the time you get to the last month or two of the season, it could look a lot different. And, you know, contributions come from everybody, you know, across the 40-man roster, not just the 26-man that you see on opening day. So, that's always in the back of my head. And but I'm excited to build back up as a starter, see where that goes. And then once we get into a conversation of, you know, if the innings start to pile up, I'm sure, you know, we'll have a more in-depth conversation as we get there. But right now, the main thing is just me responding well to each of the outings I have and, feeling really good going in, day by day.
Royals lefty Chris Bubich, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. You mentioned the postseason experience. It's cool for me as a nerd to go on Baseball Reference and now see, you know, someone like you or Bobby to see, you know, playoff statistics. You guys have been to October. You pitched in four of the team's six playoff games. I'm wondering if there was one lesson that stands out from your trip to October.
Yeah, I think, it was a very memorable experience. Obviously you aspire to be in the postseason every year, but the reality of it is you never know when you're going to get back. But I think one thing I learned from it, it's the same game. The game we play in the regular season. Obviously the crowds are a little bit bigger and the stakes are a little bit higher, but, you know, I think, everybody's pulling in the same direction. Not that you're not doing that in the regular season, but I think we're ready at any moment's notice, especially being in the bullpen. Pretty much every game is essentially a must-win game. So you're out there and you're ready to contribute, you know, as a reliever for me, whether it was the third inning, the sixth inning, or the ninth inning. We were ready at a moment's notice to go in there and, you know, do what we could to pitch as well as we can. But I think at the end of the day, it's still the same game. You go in there, you still try to attack hitters. You're still having fun at the same time because it's a situation that, you know, you dream about. So I think not making the moment bigger than it is allows us to excel in those situations and, really trust the preparation and the work we put in all year to get to that spot. So I'd say, yeah, just, keep it simple and just trusting that it's the same game we played for, 162 before.
I mentioned just how neat it was for me as someone that's had a chance to be there when you guys were drafted and watch, whether it's yourself or Kyle Isbell or Daniel Lynch or Bobby Witt, to see you guys on the national stage. I think, it made everybody in Kansas City feel great. But for someone that has been with the big club since 2020, the turnaround that this organization has pulled off in the last 5 years is quite impressive. I'm wondering, in your opinion, is it just as simple as talent? You know, hey, we have better players, we're a better team, or is there something, is there an intangible that people on the outside are missing?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's multiple factors, but I'd say the biggest things, I think between the front office, the coaching staff, and the guys in the clubhouse, I think everybody's just pulling in the same direction. I think the culture we've created, the messaging is clear that we want to, put in the work every day, not get too far ahead of ourselves, but also use, the information and the data available to improve every single day. So I think that's been the biggest difference that I've noticed just across the last few years. So I think everybody's really benefited from that, from the pitchers to the position players. And I think, it allows us to have some tangible data and have some tangible evidence to get better at, areas that we know we need to get better at, as opposed to maybe, coming in and just, changing your physical shape or something like that, or mental shape. But a lot of times it comes down to, it could be as simple as, changing, a pitch usage on the pitcher side or adding a pitch or tinkering with something like that, that could just, unlock a whole new level for a lot of guys. So I think that's been the biggest difference, just the culture change in terms of acceptance of data and using that kind of data to improve us on the field every day.
I don't know if you think like this, but man, with Waka and Lugo, with two veterans at the top of this rotation, both this year and last, it really magnifies what you and Brady Singer did back in 2020, where you guys were, Now, you had Danny Duffy and Brad Keller. There were other names in that rotation. But for you to go from A-ball to the big leagues as a 22-year-old, now 5 years removed from that, do you think it's wild how much you and Brady took on? Maybe you didn't know what you didn't know, but when you look back on that, is it pride that you feel with how you guys were able to handle that very bumpy 2020?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't an ideal year, obviously, pandemic aside, but I think coming up as early as we did, naturally there's going to be some expectations there, and we were well aware of that. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, finishing 2019 in A-ball and then getting the bump up, a couple levels to the big league, quite the jump. And not to say I wasn't ready for it, but it takes some learning on the fly. The big leagues exposes a lot of things that you realize you had to work on before, things you can get away with in the minor leagues. And, I'm sure Brady would say the same thing, but, I've really learned a lot about myself the last few years, especially kind of going through 21 and 22 for me. Obviously 22 was a pretty tough year for me. So, after that, I really, really understood that I needed to make some changes to stick around and have a job at the very least. So for me, I went to work that off season in terms of evaluating my pitch arsenal and evaluating just how I attack hitters. Because that's, at the end of the day, we're paid to get hitters out, whether you're throwing 100 or throwing, 85. At the end of the day, getting hitters out is the number one goal. And, for me, like I said, after that 22 season, I knew I needed to make some significant changes. And, we went to work, the new staff came in, had some suggestions. I had some personal suggestions myself. And, the collaboration we had that off season was really great. And, obviously the injury, put things on hold for a little bit, but as I came back last year, just kind of wanted to pick up where we left off at the beginning of 2023 and, carry that into this year as well.
Well, you certainly did that last year, because Royals fans that remember the 2.5 starts that you gave us at the beginning of 2023, it looked like it was a continuation of that in the second half of last season. Chris, final thing for you is Chris Bubich, Royals lefty, kind enough to join us. The automated ball strike challenge system is going to be used in tomorrow's opener. You pitched with it during your rehab assignment last year, if I'm correct. Did you like it? Do most pitchers like it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be, like the pitch clock that we implemented before. I think there's a little bit of an adjustment period that happens. Maybe the first week or two that guys are getting used to that never been exposed to it before. But I think when I was down in AAA last year, on the rehab assignment, yes, I did get some experience with it. I thought it was great. From a pitching standpoint, it makes the zone feel a little bit smaller sometimes. But at the end of the day, I think, everybody from the pitching side and the hitting side just wants consistency. And I think, if you have a zone that's, obviously automated, you're going to get maybe more consistency than you would typically do. And that's nothing to a fault of, an umpire. It's just typical human error, and there's human error to everything in life. But I think when you implement an automated system, but not complete automation, because players still get the freedom to challenge calls. You get two challenges per game. If you get them right, you get to keep them. So I think it just gives, pitchers, catchers, and a little bit more freedom in terms of how they want to, approach that, how they want to challenge calls. And, I think just everybody, like I said, just wants consistency of the zone, and, they'll eliminate some of the arguments that we may have, arguments that managers may have. But like I said, it might take some getting used to. And I know that, the league likes to use spring training as a testing ground a lot of times. So I'm curious to see how it shakes out. But, I'd be surprised if, it's not well received by the time we get to the end of camp.
Yeah, well, excited to see you coming up, climb that mound coming up in the next few days out here in Arizona. And Chris, I can't thank you enough for the time tonight and really throughout your career. Always been very generous with your time. I appreciate it. I know Royals fans appreciate it. And we can't wait to see you at Kauffman Stadium.
Can't wait. Thank you for having me, Burns.
I appreciate it, buddy. There you go. Chris Bubich, kind enough to join us on Vern's Hot Stove. Bubich, of course, debuted at 22, going from A-ball to the big leagues, a former first-round pick. After a quick timeout, another currently 22-year-old, former second-round pick, the local product, Ben Kuderna, the top pitching prospect in the Royals organization, swings by after this.
You're listening to Vern's Hot Stove, presented by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods has helped KC families and fans since 1958 enjoy healthier and better tasting food, eliminate shopping, cut kitchen time, all without increasing their total food bill. You'll love their products and services. Eat better at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball, 96.5.
And welcome back to the Valley of the Sun. Site of Royal Spring Training 2025. My name is Josh Vernier. This is Vern's Hot Stove live from Surprise Stadium. And as promised, pleased to be joined by former second-round pick of the Royals back in 2021. He's currently ranked as the top pitching prospect in the organization, the Blue Valley Southwest product, Ben Kuderna. Ben, I don't know if you heard during the commercial break. Did you hear that temperature back home in Kansas City?
I did. I've been talking to my parents. I heard it's brutal right now.
Oh, man, yeah. My wife's not too pleased with me because whenever we talk, I have to gloat about, you know, upper 80s coming down the pike. But listen, with the family back in Kansas City, I'm curious, what is the first memory you have of going to Kauffman Stadium watching the boys in blue?
Yeah, I mean, it goes all the way back to when I was super young. You know, I think some of my fondest memories, the earliest I can remember, was just like the tailgates outside the stadium. I always remember with family and friends. You know, it was one of those things that it was something I look forward to. You know, and I got to do enough that, you know, was great. And I think, you know, like I said, from as early as I can remember, when we'd go to games, we'd sit outside and grill some dogs and hang out and throw the football around the parking lot and then go inside for the game. You know, like I said, it's just great memories.
Annie Rogers was on the show earlier, the great beat writer from MLB.com, and she was telling me about you and another local kid, Park Hill product, Carter Jensen. He's behind the dish. You're on the hill, and the captain steps to the plate, and the great number 13, Salvador Perez, a guy that you watched from the stands go to the World Series back in 2014, win it all in 2015. So when you're on the hill facing Salvi, is it just baseball, or did you have a quick out-of-body experience?
Yeah, it was definitely both. I mean, I was telling Annie earlier that I had found out in the morning he was going to be in my hit group, which was super cool. But, you know, right when he stepped in the box, I took a second, stepped off, you know, and for me it was just a smile, right? Because, you know, for most people, you know, they just see it as a, you know, you're thrown against somebody on a backfield early in spring training with no defense. Like, you know, like, all these things, like, how's that so cool to you? But, you know, that was somebody that I idolized and who I credit to one of the reasons I loved playing baseball so much when I was younger. So, you know, I had a big old smile, but then once I got back on the rubber and, you know, Carter put one of those signs down, it turns back into strictly baseball, but super cool for real.
What was the first pitch? What, did you go fastball?
We went first pitch fastball, mixed it up with him throughout the AB. You know, those guys are getting in their work and we're getting ours, but you know, he's a 13-year big leaguer at that, so can't groove everything down the middle.
For someone that's in big league camp at just 22 years of age, this might be a silly way to put it, but how do you rein it in? Do you try, I mean, are you trying to make the team with every bullpen? How do you balance getting ready for the season, but also I'm trying to impress all these coaches?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, first and foremost, our pitching staff was phenomenal, and they were extremely upfront about, you know, what their plan was and how we're going to approach the season and how we're going to approach spring training. And I think, you know, again, the biggest thing for me is you don't want to jump the gun and you don't want to try to do too much because you're trying to make a team. You know, they've more than enough times, you know, just kind of reinforced the thought that I'm in a great spot. They have a plan for me. You know, the biggest thing is the way I put it is I'm, you know, not necessarily here to make a team, but I'm here to make an impression. And that's just, you know, not on coaches, but also the big league guys as well.
you know, because that's important to them. Those veterans, the guys that have been there and have earned, you know, kind of that right. For, you know, for me being the young kid there, like, I, you know, is just learning from them, but also, you know, giving them the respect they deserve and the coaches the respect they deserve and just taking it all in day by day and, you know, just going out there and putting my best foot forward.
How much of a group, a core group of guys in that big league clubhouse is beginning to form, meaning like yourself, you mentioned Carter Jensen, you know, the Chandler Champlains, Jack Caglione, you know, the next wave of, you know, hopefully great Kansas City Royals. How much of a bond are you starting to feel forming inside that clubhouse?
Yeah, it's a great one. You know, obviously guys like Chandler and Noah and Carter that have been with us for a couple years now and we've all played together. And then, you know, new additions like Jack, it's been great because, you know, we're all same age, you know, kind of going through this for the first time. And so, you know, we spend a lot of our days in the locker room just talking and out on the field talking and just kind of digesting everything. And I think that brings us all closer and we all get to kind of evaluate and digest and just kind of, you know, go through this journey together. And I think it builds natural camaraderie. And I think it also builds excitement within us because, you know, we all picture ourselves making an impact at the big league level and, you know, getting to play together. So it's been great so far.
Royals top pitching prospect Ben Kudina, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan as the Royals and Rangers get the Cactus League started tomorrow, 2:05 right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Royals baseball. Of those young arms, the guys that you've played with for the past few seasons, well, you know what, I guess we could even throw in the big leaguers that you're now rubbing elbows with in the big league clubhouse. Who do you enjoy watching, learning from? Whose side sessions would you be, you know, standing behind them, trying to pick up a thing or two?
Yeah, I think for me it's been Michael Wacha has been, I mean, just for starters, a phenomenal human being. I had the pleasure of, you know, kind of training alongside him this offseason at the same place down in Florida. And so I got to watch him throw and throw his sides. And obviously now being here, I really can see it all up close. And, you know, we talked about my outing and his bullpen yesterday after I was finished. And he's just been great. He's been honest. He's been open. You know, he hasn't told me to buzz off yet when I try to buzz his brain. So he's been great. And that, you know, credit to all the guys on that staff, guys like Alec Marsh, Cole Reagans, a lot of those guys as well. You know, I've known for a couple of years, but those guys have been super, you know, open and honest and just been willing to, you know, kind of take me under their wing, if you will, and, you know, give me some pointers and talk about certain things when I have questions. And, you know, that's been phenomenal. And I think that's obviously one of the biggest things you get being a young guy in spring training is getting to kind of just look and learn and take from those guys and, you know, try to bring it into your own game as you work your way up.
Man, I've been in big league clubhouses when they allow us, the media, but for about 20 years now. And boy, you mentioned Michael Wacha. I don't know if I've been around a more professional, consistent, giving, quality big leaguer, more so than the big right-hander. So not surprised in the least that you mentioned him. How about growing up? Who were your guys? Who were those righties that when they were on the bump, we're tuning in if we can?
Yeah, I mean, I was all over the place, and I loved just baseball as a whole, and I loved position players. I mean, I grew up, you know, the guys like Kershaw and Verlander, guys like that who just dominated, you know, back when I was younger and really started getting into baseball. Those were kind of the guys in their prime. I remember watching Yu Darvish right when he came over and broke into the league, was one of the guys I loved watching, you know, Kershaw, another one. So kind of everybody, you know, I just loved baseball. I loved watching it. I loved playing it, and I loved everything about it. And that even goes for position player. Like, I just loved everything about it and watching everything about it.
Verlander's first season in the big leagues was my first season covering baseball, and to watch that guy walk around the clubhouse as a rookie, he was just always, it wasn't arrogance, it was just a different type of confidence that he carried with him to the hill, around the clubhouse, and the, you know, side sessions, whatever it was just different for a guy like that. So I'm wondering, because he was just always able to handle whatever kind of expectations you would heap on him. How would you describe your relationship with pressure and the pressure that comes with being a second-round pick, a top prospect, and eventually one of the key cogs to this organization.
Yeah, I mean, I love it, to say the least. I think just in general, as athletes, we love to compete, we love the pressure, but I think that's just one area that I love to thrive in and love to be in. And, you know, again, I think for me, the biggest thing is just taking things in stride, but I love the big moments, the big games. Like, those are the ones you want and you strive for. And I think that just comes naturally with being an athlete and wanting to compete. But I think, you know, me being in this organization almost adds a little bit of that chip on the shoulder where, you know, I want to perform to my best abilities and I want to get to Kauffman and I want to be in the big games for my hometown city, because that's what I grew up watching and watching those guys do. But Matt, you know, I love it. We all love it. And, you know, that's what makes a great clubhouse, a great team, and a great pitcher is just dudes that love to go out and compete and want the big moments.
Yeah, it's certainly coming across in this conversation. Ben, final thing for you. On the MILB, you're listed at 6'3", a buck 75. Seeing you walk around the clubhouse, you look taller. You look a lot stronger than that. Do those numbers need to be updated?
Yeah, they haven't. We joke about that a lot, actually. It's funny. They're not updated. I'm probably an inch taller now and about 50 pounds heavier. So they're definitely a little bit skewed, but, you know, this is what it is. I was a string bean back then, but we've put on a little bit since then.
Yeah, because you look like a big league ace walking around that clubhouse. Can't wait to watch you out here in the Cactus League. Can't wait to see you at Kauffman Stadium, and I can't thank you enough for the time tonight, Ben. Great job, man. Great conversation, and here's to a great season for you.
I appreciate y'all.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for the time. Ben Kuderna, kind enough to join us here on 96.5 The Fan. Again, the Royals' top pitching prospect entering the season. Well, at least as of now, I was talking with Annie Rogers. She's the one in charge of that top 30 prospect. She says, yeah, he's going to be right there at the top once again for the 2025 season. You want my opinion? Body-wise, looks a lot like Brady Singer, but a little bit stronger. I mean, at 22, keep your eyes and ears open for Ben Kuderna. He'll be here before you know it. Thanks to Chris and Osero for the help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening. I'll talk to you next Thursday at 6 on 96.5 The Fan. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Burns Hot Stove, presented by Guaranteed Foods. Guaranteed Foods has helped KC families and fans since 1958 enjoy healthier and better tasting food, eliminate shopping, cut kitchen time, all without increasing their total food bill. You'll love their products and services. Eat better at GuaranteedFoods.com. This is your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.